I almost missed that first step there, if you didn't notice. It is said that the average person has 10,000 thoughts every day. And I think if we're truthful tonight, there isn't any one of us in the room that can't admit to not struggling with some of them. But God desires to change our thinking, because our living is always a product of our thinking. Our thoughts are the blueprints for our actions. What we think, we ultimately become. 2 years ago, I did this study with our class in the Fearless class. So, if you guys are in here, this might be some reminder to you. But I totally forgot what I taught at the point, so this is going to be a refresher for me. But back in September, I opened the series to our church on a Wednesday night, and we talked on the subject, "What's on Our Mind." And I'd like to continue that series today. Just by the way, before I even get started into this, Pastor Stephen always lets me use his office before we come up and preach. And man, there's something about coming up here and talking to you and preaching and get nervous. And I went into the bathroom and I used the soap dispenser, and that soap dispenser definitely shoots out really hard. So it's all over my coat. But if it looks darker in one area, that's the soap. Anyway, now that I got that off my chest, let's get into the sermon. I preached last year in September, and we talked about the subject of changing your mind. And you know what? That's really where it starts as a believer. When salvation takes place to occur in a life, we must first repent of our sins, right? We must first believe that it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross, and repent or change direction of our lives, making him the controller of it. You know, we pray a lot all the time when we say Lord. If you translate that word Lord, it means controller. If you keep translating, it means controller. So when we're praying and we're saying, Lord, are we really meaning he's our Lord? Because if he is, he would be controller of our lives. And that's what happens. When we repent, when we change our mind, and we change our mind about where we see our sin, and we see it as what put Jesus on the cross, then that'll change our direction. And we can start reprocessing, re-putting things into our brain that will make us closer to Christ. Remember, no change, no God. And I say that all the time, but if you haven't done that tonight, that is step one. There must be a change of mind. There must be a change of mind. There must be a change of direction in our life. If you say you're saved tonight and it's a Sunday night crowd, I know I'm talking to the faithful, but I can't sit here and think and assume that everyone in here is saved. Remember, part of changing our behavior is there must be a change of mind. So the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And there must be that change of mind. John Getch is the author of this series. And I don't know if you ever read any of his books, but I think they're great. And I'm going to kind of piggyback some of this series that he taught. So that's where we'll be using some of our material tonight. But here's what he says. He says that we are never going to be able to think right on our own. And that is absolutely biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Today I want to talk about the conformed mind. So we spoke back in September on the changed mind. Tonight I want to focus on the conformed mind. See, our mind must be conformed to God's mind if we're going to please him. And that is exactly the subject tonight that I want to talk about, the conformed mind. Before we dig into our text, the word conform means to be similar in form or type or to agree with. And it is absolutely Christ's desire that we become like him. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So if you have your Bibles tonight, please open them to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I was thinking about the subject tonight of being conformed, and this is kind of on a side note. When me and Amanda were dating, I don't know if this ever happens to any of you guys, but when you want to pick a place to go out to eat, it was tough because both of us didn't care until one made the decision of where we were going, and then the other one cared, right? I wish sometimes in my life I can conform my mind to my wife's, but sometimes it doesn't happen. We're not going to talk about that subject tonight, but we're going to talk about our minds conformed to Christ. So the first step, and let's read, if you could stand with me, that'd be great. Let's stand and we'll read out of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to focus just on two verses tonight, verses 22 through 24. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. The Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the change that you've made in my life. Lord, thank you for the substitutionary death that you took my place. And God, I'm so thankful to be able to open your word tonight. I'm thankful for the change you've made in my life. And I pray and thank you for those that came out tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll use me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll meet with us. Lord, that you'll fill this place and that you'll help us to respond to your word, that we can leave here different, that we can leave here changed, that we can leave here conformed to your word and to the image of your Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the first step that we need to take, if we are going to have a conformed mind, number one, we need to repent of sinful patterns. Under number one, repent of sinful patterns. We must, letter A, realize that there are patterns of sinful thoughts. And if we're going to break these sinful patterns, then we must first realize that they exist. We can't just go on with life and act like they aren't there. We must understand that in order to repent of a sin, we must first recognize it for what it is. Just like salvation, right? In order to get saved, we need to first realize we're lost. Look at verse 22 there. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We are born sinners. And I know that's not new news to us, but it's a good reminder that we should understand that we mess up sometimes, right? And usually we mess up every day. But even though we mess up, when we get saved, something changes. We are commanded to put off the former conversation. The Bible goes a little deeper into what that former conversation entails. And I want you to turn over with me to Colossians chapter 3. So go to the right in your Bible, just a couple more pages. If you have a Bible like mine, it's only two more pages. And I want you to see what this former conversation entails. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. I hear you turn. I'm going to give you one more minute. Colossians 3, 8. Because we're going to see what this old conversation was and how we should act as we put on the new man. Look at this. It says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Then Colossians goes on to say, what does it say in verse 9 there? It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Have you ever noticed that our thoughts have repeating patterns to them? It seems that some thoughts, and maybe this is just me, but it seems like some thoughts, no matter how hard we try to ignore them, they continue to return. If I can encourage you today, remember that if you're saved, there was a point in time where we had our old conversation. The word conversation simply means conduct. How do we conduct ourselves as Christians? Yes, I understand as Christians it's important to be at church like you are. It's important to look the part. But how do we portray ourselves to others, especially lost people? Because people are watching us. They really are. They're waiting for you to trip up. They're waiting for you to make a mistake. But how are we conducting ourselves to them? If we're putting off that old former conversation, that conduct, there should be a change, and people should see that. So how do we conduct ourselves? See, after a person experiences salvation, there's a new man that arrives in the scene, which means that we should be different. So what happens when we allow these sinful patterns of thoughts into our minds? Letter B, there must be repentance of these sinful thought patterns. There must be repentance of these sinful thought pattern. See, we often repent of sinful actions because they are seen and they get us into trouble. When we get caught, we have to confess at that point, right? But have you ever repented of sinful thought patterns? It's easy for us to sit back and point the finger at others that have fallen into sin that the world sees. But have you ever had a bad thought? Because if you have, the Bible says we're just as guilty. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Here's an example, and I don't always mean to use automotive terms, but that's kind of a lot of my life. And pretty much what it comes down to, a lot of people don't like to pay to maintain their vehicles. But what happens? If you don't change your oil, we all know that if you don't do that on a regular basis, what will happen? Your engine will stop working, and it's going to start ticking really loud. That's not a good thing. That means your engine is running out of oil because you didn't maintain it. And that same is true when you're leasing a vehicle, which, by the way, means renting. It's not a secret. We're renting it from the bank if you're leasing. But you still, it's your responsibility to maintain it. If you don't pay to change the oil and that engine blows up, you have to pay for another engine, even if you're under warranty. All right, just so you know that. I have a point of this. I had a customer one time that bought a vehicle from us, and he souped it up. Like, he put this really nice engine in it, and I'm not going to get into the detail of what it was, but because I probably don't know. But he souped up his engine, and he wound up blowing his engine. And then he came to our dealership, and he expected us to fix it under warranty. Well, that's not how your warranty works. If you have an original engine, and then it blows up because of mechanical failure or manufacturer defect, the dealership will cover you. Well, he didn't know that his car that he basically souped up was all over the internet, and he was in a car club, and our guys got wind of that because it was all over the internet. And they found out, okay, this guy souped up his engine and obviously tried to change it, tried to cover it up when he brought it back to us, and we saw online that this is his car, and we're not going to be able to cover that. See, repenting of our sinful thoughts is a price that must be paid now, or we will pay dearly later. That engine that he had to replace at that point could have costed more than what his car was worth. But it doesn't pay to hide things under the rug. It will come back. And I always think of the quote, "What we cover, God will uncover, and what we uncover, God will cover." And that is so true. We can't just stick our head in the sand and not deal with problems in our lives. They will resurface. And sometimes they'll resurface meaner and bigger, and they'll destroy your life if you don't deal with them. And that's where repentance comes in. So step one to having a conformed mind, we're going to keep rolling, was to repent of sinful patterns, which leads us to step number two. We must resist with spirit-filled power. We must resist with spirit-filled power. Under this resisting with spirit-filled power, we see letter A, the enhancement of the Spirit. Look back at Ephesians for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Back a couple pages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Here's the thing, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind literally means that we are to be constantly changed. You see, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts permanently, and we've been learning about this in Sunday school. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, and then it would leave. But when Jesus ascended back to heaven and he empowered the church, the Holy Spirit indwelled in the believer when there was repentance and belief that Jesus died for them and was buried and rose again. Then the Holy Spirit, it came into your life. It indwells in your heart permanently. All right? So how do we fight these patterns of bad thoughts? We must resist with spirit-filled power. You see, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts permanently. But this isn't the same thing as being filled with the Spirit. Right? I did a little study on this, and I was thinking about, okay, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I looked up the word. As if you've been in Sunday school at all, we've been studying through the book of Acts, and Peter and the apostles were standing before the Sanhedrin, Christ had already ascended back to heaven, and he empowered the church, and they were out preaching boldly in Jesus' name. They were out preaching, and they were empowered. They had the Holy Spirit in their life, and there's one verse where it said, "And Peter filled with the Holy Ghost." And Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. I looked up that word "filled." It means to furnish. If you were to furnish a house, what do you put inside it? And that's the same Holy Spirit that we have in our hearts. Yes, we get everything of the Holy Spirit we need, but what are we allowing the Holy Spirit to? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to furnish our life? I thought that was a good thought. You can say amen. That helps me. Thanks. So, are we being filled? Are we allowing Christ to fill us? Because that's a choice that we have to make. Once we're saved, we're always saved. The Holy Spirit indwells in the believer permanently. We get all the Holy Spirit we need. But now it's our choice whether we allow him to fill us or we allow our lives to be filled with something else. And I just wrote this down, and I know I already said it, but when Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin court, the same council that a few months before put Jesus to death, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a choice that we must make. D.L. Moody said that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we aren't filled, it's because we are living beneath our privileges. And I think isn't that really true? I don't think sometimes I give God enough credit in my life. What I mean by that is that I don't truly allow his power to work in and through me. Don't limit God's omnipotent power in a changed life. Guys, we can't win this war of the battle of our mind. We can't win this war to have a conformed mind without the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that's where this whole study starts, where there must be a change. There must be a change of mind in your life. And if there is no change, there's no God. And I know that sounds redundant, but it's real. It's when you ask Christ into your life, I don't want to make it sound like it's a hard thing, but there's a commitment. There's a commitment that we need to make. And that commitment is to let him control us. That commitment is to allow that Holy Spirit to fill us. We can't win the war, the battle of our minds, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that which we are to ask or think, according to the power that worketh," where? "In us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And Warren Wiersbe said that, one of the members of our church, Warren Wiersbe said that, "As the mind understands the truth of God's word," that was a joke, that Brother Andrew says that he's a member of our church, but he's not. Sorry, let's keep going. Warren Wiersbe said that as the mind understands the truth of God's word, it is gradually transformed by the Spirit, and this renewal leads to a changed life. So, not only do we see the enhancement of the Spirit, letter A, but we also must look at letter B, the emptying of self. The emptying of self. See, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be empty. When we're filled with self, the Holy Spirit is forced out. John 3:30 says that he must increase, but I must decrease. And as we think about this renewing of our mind, and Ephesians 5:18 says that, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How do we counteract these bad thought patterns? How do we have a conformed mind? What are we allowing to fill us? When a person is drunk, what do they call it? They call it being under the influence, which means you are under the influence of alcohol. You can try to cover it up all you want. You can try to walk a straight line. You can try to repeat the alphabet, but a lot of times you can't. Your words are slurred. Your mind is slowed, all because you cannot control yourself. You are under control from that alcohol. And that is the way we're to look at allowing our lives to be filled with the Spirit. So what are you filled with tonight? What's filling us? What is getting us day by day? See, you are under control of something else. When we are empty of our own fleshly desires and our minds are controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will be undeniable. We can't hide it. Just like when you're under the influence of alcohol, it's very hard to hide that. It will affect our speech when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. It will affect our actions. I used to think when I was lost that I needed to drink to have a good time. I used to think that that was what would allow me to bring out my personality. I was very quiet, believe it or not. One day in my life, I was really quiet, and I used to think that I had to drink to have a good time, and that is the biggest lie that the devil could ever tell you. That is not true. I've had the best time since Jesus Christ saved my life and saved my soul than I ever had in my life, and that gave me the real satisfaction that the alcohol couldn't. All right, guys, our world is looking for that satisfaction. Our world is looking for that peace, and they're not going to find it apart from Jesus Christ. They're not going to find it. If you're watching by internet, you're not going to find it with the things of this world. It has to be through a relationship, through repentance and belief in Christ. And I was just writing this down. That was a lie that I was telling myself. Now that God changed me, I don't need alcohol to have a good time. Christ replaced that need in my heart and filled it with His Spirit. And I praise God for that. That isn't something, listen to Brother Brian talk. And no, that's all the glory goes to God for that. That's nothing to do with me. But I am now under His influence. And I wrote this down. And to that I say, go God. I wasn't going to say that, but I had to say it. I say, go God, because I'm nothing without Him. And you know what? That should humble us and make us want to empty ourselves, meaning we must give up our wants and our desires and replace them with Spirit-filled power. What are we talking about tonight? How do we conform our minds to Christ? How do we think differently? How do we get off those repeating sinful patterns in our life? We have to realize, what are we allowing in? Because that affects us. What we watch, what we listen to, where we go, the people we hang out with, that affects you. I don't care what you say. We're not strong enough. The flesh is weak. And we have to fill ourselves. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. And how do we do that? We empty ourselves. Martin Luther said that God made the world out of nothing, and it is only when we become nothing that God can make something out of us. So as we continue in our lesson, I wrote that down, but that was for the lesson. As we continue in our sermon tonight, are we repented of sinful patterns? Are we, number two, resisting the Spirit with Spirit-filled power? And number three, and I'm almost done, the final step to strive to be conformed to Christ, are we replacing with scriptural principles? Are we replacing with scriptural principles? See, under number three, letter A, we see that the putting off is equivalent. Look at verses 22 and 24 again. I know we haven't focused on a lot of scripture here, but those are the two I want to focus on. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Notice in verse 22, we are to put off the old man. That is repentance. In verse 24, what does it say? And that you put on the new man. So we're to put off the old man, which is repentance, and we're to put on the new man. Remember that the wrong must be replaced by that which is right if victory is to be secured. And if our minds are going to be conformed to Christ, then we must replace our bad thoughts with good ones. My kids, they constantly wake up and come into our bedroom at night. And why is that? Because they have bad dreams or they have bad thoughts. And I love my wife because she, well, many reasons I love my wife, but she really, and I mean this in all seriousness, she really emulates what it means to instill God's word into our children, maybe even sometimes when she doesn't realize it. Because what she does is she asks them to pray, and she asked Jesus to put good thoughts in their mind. And that's what we're to do, but we're also to fill it with Scripture. We're to fill it with God's Word. So letter B, putting on is equivalent to what? Restoration. The putting off is equivalent to repentance. The putting on of the new man is equivalent to restoration. When we fail and sin and repent, then the restoration process takes place in the life of a believer. Earlier in the actual lesson book, we quoted scripture. Tonight, we actually quoted out of the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. I want you to turn back there with me real quick. I know I'm only looking at like three verses here, but stay with me. There's a point to this. I've been reading a book that Pastor had been reading for college that maybe some of you guys have read, but it's called Applying God's Word. And I told the nursing home this ministry today when we went over there that God's Word, we always talk about how it's a love letter to us. They made a really good point in that book, and they said, when someone writes a love letter, you hang on to every word, you look at every aspect of that word, and you see why did they place those words there, what is the intention behind it? And that's how we're to read God's love letter to us. before we got married, I wrote a lot of letters to Miss Amanda. Now, I know nowadays letters are not very common. You just text or Facebook it or chat it, snap it, whatever they call, right? Chap, snat, chap, snot, never mind. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I wrote a lot of letters to Miss Amanda, and, you know, I know it wasn't the letters that caught her. It was the, you know, the blonde tips and the earrings, and she got a hold of me, and she says, that's the man I'm going to marry right there. He was going to buy right to the wedding. But, no, where was I going with that? I wrote her letters, and I hope that she read them with all the intent of what did he mean by these words. So let's look at Colossians. That might have been a bad example, but I can't believe I said snot. All right, here we go. Chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians, here we go. Stay with me. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. See, the old is simply replaced by the new. And I've asked this before, but I thought it was a really good example. Have you ever had a thought that you just couldn't get out of your head? I mean, you recognized it for what it was. It was sin. You asked God to forgive you from it. But the thoughts kept coming back. You ever experienced that? If I'm the only one that does that, then maybe I'm alone. But I want you to try and experiment with me. And we did this on Wednesday night. And some of you, if you have your calculators, you're ready to go. But I want you to think of a number. Think of the number 8. Do you see it? Number 8? Do you think of a snowman? Think of the 8-ball on a pool table? Think of the V8 drink. Oh, I can't stand V8. Think of the V8 drink. All right? Now try to forget it. Try to forget the number 8. Stop thinking about the number 8. You can't do it, can you? See, the more you try to forget the number 8, the more it's there. The same is true with the sinful thought. The more you focus on repenting of it, the harder it is to put off. Now try this. Think of a number 100. And here we go, all you math. I don't have my calculator, which is what a salesman needs, but think of number 100. Add 4 to it. Got it? 100 plus 4. Subtract 14 from it. All right? Got it? Divide by 3. Some of you are lost already. Don't worry, I would be too, but I have the answer right here. Add 20. Multiply it by 2. And then subtract 99. Now, while we just went through all of that, how often did you think about the number 8? How about the number 8? How often did you think about the number 8? You shouldn't have. Actually, you should now have the number 1 on your mind, right? Because that is the answer, right? I didn't add it up, but that's what the answer is. Answers may vary. That was something. Never mind. I don't know where that's coming from. Brother Pat, ask Brother Pat to explain that to you. Answers may vary. So here's the thing. You will never rid your mind of sinful thoughts by focusing on how important it is to get rid of them. You must replace those thoughts. And I know that's pretty common sense, but how often do we continue to go back to that sinful pattern and right back to it after we come up and we repent and we ask God to forgive us and we go right back to it? There has to be a putting off, which is repentance, and there has to be a putting on, which is restoration. And how do we do that? We do that by allowing God to take residence in our life. Even though if you're saved, once you're saved, you're always saved. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit will leave you. But are you letting Him fill you? Are you letting Him furnish your life? How do we get, we don't get more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has to get more of us. And that is a common thing in my life that I'm not up here saying that I know all the answers. It's a battle for me every day. Philippians 4, and I'm coming to a close. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So in conclusion, what's on your mind this evening? What are we allowing into our minds? What are we watching? Who are we listening to for advice? Because I found in my life advice is very commonly readily available. That's a lot of wrong words together. Advice is readily available. Anyone will give you their advice. But what and who are we listening to? And first of all, once again, have you ever experienced a change of mind? Because that's what it comes down to. That is the gospel. Guys, our world needs to hear the gospel. Yes, they need to see it in our life, but they need to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I was listening to Johnny Hunt a couple weeks ago, and he said, God doesn't say, well known thy good and faithful servant. He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's more than just lip service. It's living it out, and it's telling people about Christ, and they have to hear it. They have to hear the gospel. Don't sit back tonight if you're a believer and get mad at the world when we're not getting up out of our seats and we're not telling people about Christ. Get enlisted. Get enrolled in the battle. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect soul winner, and I know I need to get so much better at that, but we are so quick to judge. We are so quick to say, oh, I can't believe this world is like this. Well, what are we doing to change it? What are we allowing into our minds? So was there ever a change in your life? First of all, have you ever experienced a change of mind? Have you ever repented of your sins? Have you ever remembered that change taking place? Because there should be a change. God didn't just save us to keep us that way. He paid way too much for that. Right? Never forget, with repentance comes action. With repentance comes a newness of life. Not by our own works, but by his changing power that is indwelling in us. And if you're saved tonight and you remember that change, then what is filling you tonight? Are we making ourselves readily available? Are we allowing him to get more of us? Or are we letting ourselves be filled with other things? And I'm speaking to myself with that. So what's on your mind? How do we have a conformed mind? We're to repent of our sinful patterns. We're to resist with spirit-filled power, and we're to replace with spiritual principles. And guys, there is no secret to what Christianity is. It's the gospel. It'll always be the gospel. It's always about his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If we're sitting here tonight and we're waiting for some new spiritual truth to come out, God already did everything he needed to do. There's no sign we need to wait for in our life. Get out there. Go and tell people about Christ. Get out there and go and make yourself available. Let yourself be filled. And let's go out and change our country. Because it's not by anything that we can do, but it's by the power of his word. I watched a movie, and I've told almost everyone about it. Our class came over, and we watched Woodlawn. And I'm trying not to ruin it for you, but it ties within to where I'm going here. But it was, I don't know, for some reason the Lord really used that movie in my life. And there's a spot in the movie where the actor comes on. Sean Austin, all right? And he stands up and he asks this high school football team, basically the behind-the-scenes look is he was asking them to come to Christ, but he put it in a way that, are you committed to change? The movie is set back in the 70s where there was a lot of racial tension and the blacks and the whites were fighting, and the blacks were now coming into this, where they were allowing them to come in and intermix schools, and this was one of the first schools ever allowed to do that in Alabama. And he stood up and he said, are you willing to change? Aren't you sick of the way this life is? Aren't you sick of the way this world is going? Aren't you sick of the feeling you have right now of how this world is? Because unless we're living in a box tonight, and we're just walking with blinders on, guys, we can't do that. Our world is getting worse. But let's not sit back and say, oh, it's going to, you know, great book says it's the world's going to hell. No, he's got us here for a reason. He's got us here to change lives. And how do we do that? By sharing him the gospel. And then by being more conformed to him, because that's what he wants from us. He didn't save us to keep us the way we are, right? So I'm going to ask you tonight, as Pastor Stephen comes, for our invitation in the instrumentalist. First of all, if you're lost, if you've never made a change in your life, if you've never changed your mind about your sin and about who God is, we never know when our last breath is. I know we say that all the time, but just another example of Sarah Scally passing. She was 39, right? 38 or 39. Guys, we never know when our last breath is. So now, why not now make a commitment? Why not now make a commitment to change? Because that's what the gospel will do in your life. If you're saved, there should be a change. And that change is to love people. That change is to love people to Christ and tell more people about him. Guys, we sometimes underestimate what the power of God can do in a changed life. And I'm right there with you. But let's make a commitment tonight. There's going to be an invitation. That invitation is for you. If God is speaking to your heart, if he brought something out of your life, then we're here tonight to preach God's word, to open that up. But what it does is sometimes part of hearing God's word is responding. We don't just hear it to hear it. We hear it and we respond. That's what really hearing is in the gospel and of God's word. So if you're here tonight, make a commitment tonight. Let's make a commitment as a church to be conformed in the image of God, to put off the old man and put on the new one. Because that's what God died for us to do. Brother Stephen, what number?
Hymn number 317.